Hello there, and welcome to the Cocoa Butter Junkie Podcast. I'm Michelle, and this is my podcast. This is a podcast on the everyday reflections and experiences of a Kenyan woman. It is my examination of life living through mental health issues, grief, growing up, aka kicking and screaming into adulthood, the experiences of being a woman in Kenya, making friends as an adult, struggles with faith, and a bunch of other topics. Thank you for listening.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Sasa?
Niko poa.
How was your day?
It was long, but it was nice.
Okay.
And you?
Mi niko tu.
Mm-hmm.
Niko tu kwa nyumba. I'm doing okay now.
That's good.
Yeah.
At least you took some time.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry to hear that.
It happens. Like, usually, I just know it will pass. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is there, like, anything that triggers it?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, no.
Oh, it just happens.
And, like, this time, nothing happened.
Oh.
You just wake up funky. And it doesn't matter what you do. You
go to,
yeah.
It's like a constant cloud.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Mm.
But I'm glad you're good now.
Yeah, I'm okay.
At least you know the telltale signs and stuff.
Mm, and at least nowadays, we're haikai for long. There's a time I would go for months.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What?
Mm.
But now what do you do to, like, get out of it?
Sometimes there are things I can do. Sometimes there's nothing I can do.
Mm.
So if I can exercise or read a book I like, do something I like to do, sometimes it will get me out of it.
Yeah.
I talk to someone like my therapist, I tell her.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes there's nothing I can do, even if I talk about it, even if I'm like, I don't know, outside or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it passes eventually.
Okay.
And then what helps is my mindset.
Yeah.
Nowadays, at least I know I'm not like completely, you know, the thing that bothers me is the hopelessness.
Yes.
So at least nowadays I know it a Peter. So
yeah,
it's good to be aware.
Yeah, so that you know, this is just a period I'm going through and it's gonna be fine.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Mm. And you?
Me,
your week, how has been your week?
What is it called? Like mid-July, mbaka today, has been, I call it a season of growth.
Okay. Explain.
So, because I know I'm very, what is it called, sensitive.
Mm.
Things affect me and the way I am.
Mm.
Sometimes I go out of my way for other people, you know.
Mm.
And then sometimes it backfires because you don't get the same enthusiasm when it comes to you and whatever.
Mm.
So I've been doing that for a long time continuously, for other people continuously.
Mm.
Have you ever reached a place where you feel like you're almost like a bottle and then you're like on empty?
Yes, kabisa.
And you have no idea how to refill it.
Mm.
And you just can't anymore.
Like there's nothing left, kabisa.
Yeah, like I can't give anything anymore, you know. Yeah, like even receiving a call or listening to someone like you would have listened to, you feel like you really can't. Like if you do that, like society meisha, like empty now, you stop. Yeah.
So what's been happening?
The past maybe let's say 6 years. We moved to, I call it Rai, but it's Utawala. So we moved to Utawala from Buru. At that time, I used to work in Thika. So when we came this side, the church that was there, we didn't know it was a Catholic church. It was actually, that's the first Catholic church in Meshayona ya Mabati. So we didn't know it was, but we went there. And I and my sisters got involved into the youth. And I didn't know I was that headstrong, but I am, kumbe. Because it was bugging me. They're young, they can do stuff, but they're not doing anything. Wako tu. Like, sale watu wako church, wako njona piga story. or like, what's the point? Like, just stay at home, you know.
How old are they?
That time what, they were what, like 20s, 22, 23, 24,
okay.
Like my age at that time.
Mm.
So I was like, "Hey, what's happening? Like, what's wrong with these people?"
Mm.
Then one day, one of the like the leaders, Alienda Kanonza, kasema, "Oh, we are recruiting youth. We have been meeting all the time, so we need new members and whatever."
Mm.
So me and my sisters are like, "Aya, kuna youth hapa." So we show up at the meeting. Like, she's talking, no one is listening. I have no idea why it was like that. So we just got involved and whatever, because I was not understanding how they're adults over 18 and they have to be told things twice or thrice or four times or 55 times or whatever. So then eventually I got into the leadership, just, I guess, maybe because of just my personality. Because I actually didn't mean to be a leader. I just wanted to, like, I was not understanding why people are not being responsible or something. Like, do something. You guys, it's for you guys to set the rules. It's for you guys to see what you can do. So then I was in the leadership for 6 years.
Mm.
And during this time, I did everything. Everything for the church. Like, everything. Like, beyond, you know. And what I didn't know is I was not giving back to myself.
Mm.
I was giving everything to everyone. It was almost like, you need something, call Mary. She'll figure it out. It's okay. Call Mary. Call Mary. She must know.
Mm.
Oh, I have a problem. Call Mary.
Mm.
Call Mary. So what eventually happened is I started resenting leadership for some time. But then I knew it was really time for me to leave. Because it used to be like beyond, like it was now, even the requests they're asking you are like if to someone else they wouldn't have asked, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, so eventually last year, we mentored now new leaders and they came in.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a crisis after that because my routine was always go to work. Saturday, go home.
Mm.
Sunday, there.
Mm.
We have meetings. I have this, and I have this, and I have this, and I'm responsible for this, and we're doing choir and whatever.
Mm.
But it was a crisis because now I'm no longer the leader. I don't know how to act like a normal church member and whatever.
Mm, like you can see something going wrong and you just make a tour.
No, see, now I had to,
mm.
but in my head, I'm thinking, like, it was almost like an identity crisis. Like, who am I? Was I only
a
leader?
I get you. Mm.
Yeah, like, who am I without the leadership? Am I able to sustain it? Am I able to, I don't know, like, for some time, I was really lost. I was super lost. Yeah, like, I didn't understand that I was really, really, really lost.
Mm.
But what helped is I took it one day at a time, and at the same time I was in orchestra, I was in whatever. So those used to fill the days, and then sometimes I just used to sit and figure it out. And at the same time, something happened at work. So I'm a QS, so I'm the one who certifies payments to contractors. So one of these contractors was not very happy. Someone had told him, "Atia, payment yako, ujalipa because Mary ndio anakalia."
Ah,
I have no idea why. So this guy got his older brother and they came to my office and they closed the door.
Hiya, okay. Uh-huh.
Yes. And then this guy, the younger brother, was like, "This is the lady," now pointing at me. "This is the lady who has been impeding. What? We bring payments here. She's not even doing." So she takes he takes the paper and then he throws it at me. And then he says, "Today, we're going to go to the MD.
Mm-hmm.
It's either we are paid today or you're fired today." And they proceeded to shout and shout and shout. So what really hurt me is I'm always there for my colleagues. I'm always there for other people and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My office, at some point, the door went ajar kidogo. But someone I thought would be like my friend, like have my back and stuff. Because me, I have their backs. Alichungulia and proceeded to walk away.
Hiya.
He didn't even ask whether I'm okay or not. And these people were busy shouting, yeah?
Mm.
And I was super scared because he looked like now they were going to get, you know, someone akishachukua kitu anaanza kurusha na sema, oyo, nini. Now they're shouting. And people can hear because it's not at your private office. Like, kuna watu kwa corridor, kuna nini. But he looked in, looked at me, and walked away.
Mm.
So it took me having to call an older colleague. And then I wasn't talking because I wasn't calling at Akiwa. It was just you dial like in your pocket or on your desk, but they don't know who what you're doing.
So all this time, were you able to like get in one word or something to like try and explain? They just came in and they were just wanted to fight.
No, yeah, they wanted to fight, and I wasn't. I guess I was shocked that they had such audacity. So I was kind of frozen. What to do? But in my head, I was thinking, okay, fine, let me let him rant and then at the end he'll leave. But they were not leaving. So then it got now very uncomfortable. And now it's like, hey, this people are getting dangerous because now it's escalating. Yeah. So now when I call my colleague, so when I didn't talk, he could hear people shouting and I'm not talking. So he kept saying, Mary, Mary. So then he came to my office. Then he found the guys. Now, the minute this guy saw an older colleague who's a man, they calmed down. And then when they calmed down, the older brother apparently had worked with my older colleague somewhere. So he's like, oh, engineer. They're like, oh, okay. What's happening? Now we are here. You know, this payment has nini. So they're trying to explain and shouting. And now, of course, now it's my fault at that point. So this older colleague thought, is like, okay, fine. You can shout at her, but when you're shouting at her here, she won't help you. Sindio? See, we go to her boss. You know, trying to get them out of the office because now they were not leaving and they were not doing anything. Because now just trying to convince them, please leave. Let's go with you. She can't help you. So when they went to the office, he tells them, okay, sit at the waiting area. Let me go and explain it to the general manager. So when he goes in, he's like, so when he closes the door, he's like, general manager, your staff is being threatened and you guys are sitting here and something could have happened to her. So you guys... Are you serious? You know, like, so now general manager didn't know because they had passed through his office and he had told them, we'll communicate. So he got really angry and chased them away. And then he came back and he told me, lock the door. But now during that locking of the door, I sat down and I was shaking. I didn't realize it had affected me that much. So when we're leaving, he's like, okay, I'm leaving. Do you want me to walk you to your car? So he's like, okay. I'm like, yeah. So when we shook her downstairs, we see the guys. They had not left. I was like, shit. So we ran and see, we went around like that, whatever. But it was an altercation. My thing was, fine, he was very angry and whatever. My thing is, I'm always there for everyone. Why couldn't someone be there for me?
Okay, but there's this one person who walked you to your car.
Yes, yeah. But you see, the other guy, I'm always there for him. I've worked with him for a long time, you know. I think that thing broke me. Like for a long time, I wasn't trusting anyone. I wasn't revealing anything. I was just subdued. And when they mentioned it in the next meeting, people laughed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know, I felt so alone.
Yeah.
And then combining with this other thing and as in, what am I even doing here? You know, like, me, I was ready to, like, maybe I need to quit. Maybe it's not worth the struggle. Maybe it's not nini. And I couldn't mention it to my parents because I was thinking, then now they'll be like, you know, we're not there for how, something like that. Like, it was complex what I was thinking in my head.
So have you found yourself another time? Because I'm thinking this wouldn't be the first or second time. Like just giving.
Yes. A lot. But now I'm setting boundaries. I'm getting okay with saying no. It's hard. It's not very easy because I'm used to being the nice person. The non-controversial child.
Oh,
yes. Yeah.
You're the first one, right?
Yes, I am.
I get you. The non-controversial child. Yes,
I'm non-controversial, very safe, very dependable. Yeah, like you, a scandal. Yes, but Mary, one of those. How? You know? And I think at some point, it just bugged me when I told you I saw a counselor during Kampo. So, like, earlier life, yeah, perfect. Moiji, yeah. Yeah, you pass your exams. Ah, you go to uni, you do this super tough course. So me was fine, the first year, second year was fine. That year, I don't know what happened. I didn't realize it was happening to me. I got a new roommate, and she moved in like in December. We were supposed to come back in Jan. So apparently she moved in with dishes and she didn't wash them or something like that. So the cockroaches in Jan.
Oh, wow.
I didn't used to fear cockroaches. Now, there's a time I sat on my bed. I think I was after class and I was tired. I was waiting for another afternoon class. And I sat on my bed and I said, okay, let me sleep kidogo. And then you can feel like, usha you feel like unataka ku scratch your head or something like that. Do you know cockroaches are on my head?
Cockroaches, not even like one cockroach, cockroaches.
Oh my God. I think that one flipped a switch or something. Oh my God. And then they were walking on my fingers. And then I was like, what is this? You know, like, I think it flipped something. Because now I stopped noticing that my room is not neat. I stopped even trying to do anything to my room. Like nothing. Do you know there's a time the clutter and the dirt and the whatever used to get to the mlango. So you share a mlango and then you have two other mlangos.
Okay.
And then what I do, I wake up, I look for my ngos, I go and bathe, I come and I look for a space to stand. I wear my clothes, I go to class.
As in the clutter was yours, or it was your roommate?
It was mine.
Okay.
No, as in, I don't know what happened, by the way, and I don't realize the difference, how it came from the cockroaches to the clutter.
So now you just started living with the cockroaches, Ivo, too. You were like, I don't care anymore.
I think so. And I think I was ignoring the fact that, oh my God, we're infested or something like that. So what happened? What made me realize there was a problem? And I used to like jump over it and make sure your clutter ifiki kwa mlango so that no one can see it.
You never used to get guys come to your room?
No.
No friends,
I
nothing?
I don't know how I used to do it. Maybe I used to go to my friends' rooms. They were not coming to my room.
Okay, Ebu, tell me, between the period when you first discovered there were cockroaches and then the period where the clutter grew, like this, I feel like there's something missing up, or like what was happening?
Do you know, by the really, I have no idea how it grew so much, and I didn't realize. That's what I'm telling you. The only time I realized, I had gone to one of my friend's rooms, and my mom, for some reason, she had never come to visit me, like at it for my room. So she just asked, it was like a surprise, she wanted to surprise me. So she asked the caretaker, where's Nani's room? So they figure they fungua, because I'd left it open. They fungua, she swears she thought I was mugged and I was missing. Because everything was on the floor. Everything. Dishes, what. Like it was so bad, you couldn't see the floor. And me, I hadn't seen it. It's like I had stopped looking.
Caring, Kabisa.
Yes, no, I'd stopped looking. And I used to go and I make sure I figure in the bed and I sleep. Like, it's like, I don't know what scared me so much. I don't know what happened. By that period, I have no idea what happened.
So you were like not doing your laundry?
Yeah.
Nothing.
I was not doing my laundry. I was not doing anything. When I cook, yo, didi penyiko. Like, I don't know.
And when you run out of dishes?
I have no idea. I think unajua kampo you could buy chapos or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I have no idea. So my mom was like, shit, something has happened to my child. So now they're actually looking for who. So I come and they find commotion outside my room. Then my mom turns and sees me as like, what? What has happened to your room? I'm like, what? Actually, what? You cannot see your room. Like, did something happen to you? Did something happen to you? Are you okay? I'm like, yeah. I was just downstairs to my nini in my friend's room. I'm like, are you okay? And this is how your room looks every day. I'm like, but what's wrong with it? I'll just move and this one, I'll just move. That's when I realized there was a problem. So then I looked for, they used to have counselors and whatever. So they started, what is it called? Is it called cognitive behavioral
therapy?
CBT, yes. Yeah, but like light, like not like the deep stuff, but she was there.
So whose idea was this? Was it yours or it was your mom's to go to a counselor?
No, you know how she didn't know what the problem was. She freaked out. Kabisa.
She was just like, my child is not neat. She just...
it was disturbing.
Okay.
Now when I look back, it was like very disturbing. So she didn't know what to do. So she just went and told my dad. And then they went ahead and talked to me about it. So like, you need to make sure your room is neat. It's very small and whatever, just do this and this, you know, like that. But me, I knew there was like, there must have been something that wasn't right. Because in first and second year, I was really super neat. On the second year, when I was in my room, like, I don't know. I don't know what happened between the cockroaches and the whatever and that.
Is it something that you discussed with your counselor at the time?
No, I actually told her I don't feel okay. I don't know what's happening and I feel like I need to talk to someone. So we talked a lot about other things. And miraculously, I think maybe it was my outward expression of the clutter that was inside my head. Because when I started talking to her and whatever, and she used to tell me when you find things are a lot, look outside, like look at trees, like outside, look like on a horizon and just be. That really helped because I came back like to me.
Okay.
Because that's how I try and explain it. Maybe it's the clutter that was in my head. Mm. I wasn't thinking about stuff. I was shelving stuff, and I was so occupied with being perfect and not being, is it called a bother or whatever, to my room. Like I didn't even mention it to her. I didn't point out to her that, hey, you need to be more like, be more clean or be more responsible, or you know, you're the cause of this. Can we do this? Can we fumigate? I actually never addressed that with her. And she was really nice and stuff like that, but I don't know. And that's something up to today. If I find like things are on the floor and whatever, actually take time to like not meditate, like just think what could be happening, what is it that could be disturbing me and whatever. But once I figure it out, I'm able to like make my space neat, make my things good and whatever. Yeah, I realized maybe it's just something like, it's like a telltale sign that maybe something is not okay with you, or you're ignoring something. You're ignoring something. So I actually ignore my environment. I ignore everything else. Yeah, but since that day, like every time my mom is like, are you okay? Are you Nini? So she sends my sisters. You know, like the time they came, I for a long time, they didn't used to come a lot to my house because people are busy with other things. But sometimes when I invite them, I'm like weird about things. Like I want things to be here and take IV and whatever. It's clean. Hey, nani ameangusha your glass? Like, you know.
Put things on a coaster.
Yeah, no, not on a coaster necessarily, but if you're entering my house, like leave the shoes outside or like at the door, and then make sure when you're eating, food is in the quantity. And you know, like things like that. Like if you want something from my closet or whatever, just tell me, give me a heads up. You're like, I need to use you this and this and this. Then I'm like, okay, fine. I am aware of things that are happening in my house. So I think that's why they didn't like coming. Now I'm better. So they used to go to my mom and go like, wow, the house is super neat, except one room.
Which room?
Like my craft room.
Okay.
Like that's where I showed my, I put things there. They're like, except one room. I'm like, okay, that's progress. Because she's always worried. She didn't know what that is. And she's always conscious about it.
Do you think that is progress, really?
That except that one room.
No, as in, like, the house is neat and now that seems like progress on the outside. I don't see it as progress, do you?
It's not progress.
No.
Why would you say that?
I'm feeling now like you've developed another, like, nini condition.
Oh, no. I hope not.
Yeah. But then it could be just your way of dealing. I'm not a doctor, but I don't know. From the way I'm hearing,
yeah,
it could be just your way of dealing because you don't want to go back there. So now you want to take control of everything. Yeah, I don't know. Have you been to therapy after Kampo?
Now after Kampo, complicated.
Okay.
So no. In fourth year, see, I told you, I was the perfect student, perfect model child, I think. Yeah. So my supervisor for my thesis, for some reason, was transferred to another university. So then we were sent to another supervisor. So they gave us a deadline. She wasn't very involved in the process. Not at yet, not your feedback or whatever. So she just said, you finish, submit, and whatever. So that there are weeks where I used to sleep at 4, wake up at 8. Continuous.
Mm.
And that I think affected me. At some point I got sick, like sort of malaria and whatever. in quotes. So my cousin came to the school, like a canyambe, no, come and visit me. So for that day, we did nothing about anything. We just watched TV, ate, and slept. And I realized I need to sleep and whatever. So I used to work so hard. I didn't used to go home and whatever. So my family sometimes would talk at church when I'm done and yanga, yung kopoa, and kofit. So they go. So I finished my thesis, submitted. Now, I don't know if it was that confusion or the fact that we didn't have feedback or something. At graduation, the dean used to like me. So the dean is like, Mary, you're here. Of course, you will pass. When you go, nini? We go and see the results. I failed.
Oh, okay.
So I failed my thesis. I was super shocked. I was like, what? How do I fail? I worked so hard on this thing. Him is like, no, those must not be your results. So let me go and check. So he goes and actually calls the lecturer and whatever. Like, yeah, she failed. So how do you become, how did you come from being the perfect child to being someone who's failed? So the first person, because I'm a daddy's girl, first person I called is my dad. So I'm trying to explain that I don't understand why they're saying I failed, but it seems this is what has happened. And his reaction is, I think, almost like stabbed me in my heart. Like, what? I don't believe that. No, you must not have worked hard enough. I was like, what? So I started crying then and there, like in the middle of a random street. Well, I passing, one on a tears, nini. So I was like, so then I'm like, because now I don't want to ruffle feathers by responding. So I namazad. But it really, 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 really hurt me. And it hurt my mom more, because you know now people knew graduation me like in a month.
Yeah.
Like what's happening? Yeah. So I call my friend and then we sit on a bench like in the middle of the UN, you know, Apokwa, your square library. And then I start telling him the story and I cry. And I cry so hard. So he's like, I'm just gonna sit here, just cry. It's okay. Then in the middle of my crying, someone calls and is like, there's a job in Thika, you want to take it? I wanted to run away from everything. I was like, yeah. But when can you start? I can start tomorrow. And that time, I don't even know where it is. I've been Nairobi for all this time. I don't even know where Thika is and whatever. But yeah, I will give you the direction and whatever. So I took the job. And at some point, I moved to Thika. And when people are being told congratulations kwa Facebook, I was ignoring. And someone called and said, "Hapana, graduation the next year." It's like it's normal.
What were you feeling at that point?
Horrible. I was ashamed. I felt horrible. Like everyone I've been with in school is graduating, except me and my other friend.
So now
we're being supervised by the same lady.
So now when you fail your thesis, you have to redo the whole year. Amma, you have just redo the thesis?
It's the whole year.
Okay.
No, it's a thesis, but it's a year.
Okay.
You know, now the other graduation is next year. But you know, you're ashamed. You actually have no idea why you failed, so you don't know what to correct. So it was a horrible time.
Wait, Connie, you never presented your thesis?
No, I did.
And then they didn't give you like the nini right there and then? Because me, when I was in DESA, they used to give you the nini apu-apu.
No, feedback. You wait for like a month.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And they actually don't give you a direct feedback. They just put it on the roll.
And like there's no like,
you actually make it or you don't make it.
There's no like redo over, nothing.
No.
Okay.
I'm telling you. So I'm ashamed, I'm in Thika. The job itself on paper is good, but the people, the bosses are horrible. But I can't quit because where am I going? So they graduate and whatever.
Mm.
So I used to get really tired, really fatigued and whatever. And I think I was depressed and I didn't know. So what I used to do in the morning, I go to the supermarket. The first thing, because I used to open at 7:30, to start is Nanua Red Bull to get me through the day. Every day. Like, I can't handle, because I'm like, if I don't wake up, I'm like, lost this job. So I wake up. And that's what used to happen every day. My boss was super horrible. Sato tunamaliza, like, the whole week she's not there. And then Sato, like, at 2, see, you've left.
Mm.
She's like, no, there's a tender we're supposed to fail.
Mm.
It's due on Monday. So I'm asking her, I've just left right now. Do I come back? Actually, no, come tomorrow. Like, tomorrow is Sunday. Yeah, I know. Yeah, and then you come, you work. Like, people are there to accompany you as you're working. You really work. You give someone nini, wana photocopy, what, we bind, we finish everything.
Mm.
At the end of it, you're supposed to be given overtime.
Mm.
Nisi pewi. Because at that time, my mom had given me a car to use, pallet.
Mm.
So, and then you see that the problem was, now everyone was one tribe and I was a different tribe.
Yeah.
And they talk in the other tribe. And at some point, I think I had started understanding them. They used to give. They used to give even the wachi my allowance in front of me. Like, I wish they would have sent each other in person.
Wow.
And then the wachi is like, I know. Then the wachi is like, why are you not giving to her? Asia kunagari. And then sometimes we leave the office at 12 in the midnight.
Mm.
They don't give me overtime, which is in my contract. And then in the morning, they tell me at 7, you need to go and present that tender. So that's what used to happen over and over again, over and over again. It was like super, I don't know. So there's a day I just decided, I'm going to tell them I'm sick. They told me, you need to have a sick of shit. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to Aga Khan, don't worry. So I go. So when I fika, I want to make up stories so that she gives me something so that I just go and sleep.
Because
I just can't do it anymore. So as I'm telling her, oh, my stomach, oh, my headache, so she's like, okay, fine. So she's writing a prescription.
Mm.
As she's writing, I think I swallow or something like that. Then she's like, no, swallow again. Okay, please go and do this test. I'm like, this test ni anini. I said, no, it's a blood test. Just go and do it. So I do it. Come back after 3 days, then we'll see what happens. So when I fika, so she told me, you have hyperthyroidism.
Hyper?
Hyper.
Okay.
So it's weird because I'm big. I should be hypo. I'm like, no. You're hyper. And it is so high, you're exhibiting symptoms of hypo. But your heart rate, do you feel your heart rate going really fast? Yeah. And you see this swelling. That's your thyroid. I'm like, okay. So I called my cousin. He's like, no, those figures cannot happen. I think the tests are wrong. Mm. You come to Nairobi, we come and do it again. Comes the same. So I'm like, shit. So a side effect, they told me, because I was exhibiting hypo, is depression or affective disorder. That's what they were saying. And I didn't know I had it. So now we're treating it, we're nini. So then at some point I decide, okay, fine, I need to go and see a counselor. So he recommends someone who's like really famous and stuff. So I pick her, and because I don't know why I was late. I was really late.
Mm.
So he finishes his clinic at 4. So I pick her at 4 or 5. And then I tell them, let me just see him and then we can arrange another day to come. Actually, no, you can't see the doctor. I'm like, yeah, I know I'm late. I am so sorry. Please just allow me to see him. Actually, no, I'm not going to allow you to see him. Please come back tomorrow. Like, I have to see him. Like, no. So I was so upset, I couldn't talk. I kept crying all the time, you know. I go to the loo and I cry. And then I'm asking myself, why am I crying? Because I couldn't see the doctor. But it is hurting me so much. So I call my cousin. My cousin's like, go to the casualty. They'll give you another person. So when I think I find a really nice nurse, like, Ati, what are you looking for? So I explained to her. Like, no, you're going to be okay. Go and see this doctor. Come tomorrow at like 6 in the morning. this doctor, I know her, she's very good and whatever, please come. I didn't know that was a psychiatrist. So when I think I explained to her, she's very nice and whatever. So she's like, okay, let's do this. Let's start you on this drug. I'm like, what?
Evo too?
Yeah. I was like, what? But now, clearly, I had been going through a lot, yeah? This was after Thika, way after Thika.
So does she tell you what the medication is for?
Yeah, she does.
It was an antidepressant.
She explains. Mm. Yes, it was.
Mm.
And she says, do it for 2 weeks, and then we'll see how it goes.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, after 2 weeks, I'll stop. But she, do it for 2 weeks. Let's see. Let's see how it goes. I'm like, what do you mean, let's see how it goes? Let's see how it goes. So that's a journey. I think I ended up taking the drugs for 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what was that like, taking the medication?
Now, what I noticed, there's a side effect of, now when you need to react to things, when you need to cry, it's almost like you can't cry.
Did you feel like you were just blah, like you were just there, like...
No, actually, it's really helped me because I had stopped doing everything. Because me, I love crafts and whatever, and singing and whatever, I had stopped doing everything. I was finishing work, nothing alone. Now I'm gonna end and I finish everything. Like, I wasn't doing anything. But now, it actually brought back the being me. But now I noticed that when, now I want to cry. This is sad. I want to cry. Crying. I'm feeling the pain, but I'm not crying. Yeah. And then, you know, in such inappropriate places, like you're in a funeral, and you know, that's what I noticed.
And then when something is funny, you're just like, okay, so it's funny that, yeah, it's funny, but you're not laughing. I don't know. I also felt that.
At least laughter was there. It's the crying part that, the laughter at least, okay, I didn't notice a big difference. But sometimes you're just, you know, like, you know, sometimes you need to react a certain way.
Yeah, I know the feeling, Kabisa. I know the feeling. For me, it was like, if I wanted to cry, it's like my emotions were stuck. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yes, yes.
They were like stuck. I want to cry, but I'm like, the emotions are like stuck. And then if something is funny, I'm like, yeah, that is funny, but I'm not laughing. But yeah, I see it's funny.
Yeah.
I was just there. I was just like, meh, just like there, like nothing.
Oh my God. Mm. But now, did you stop yours?
Yeah, me. I took for a year, and then early this year I stopped.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So for 4 years.
Yeah, for 4 years.
Mm.
But you see, mine had the complication of the other underlying condition. So then I had to address that as we go on. So I think I went for a radioactive iodine. That freaked out my mom. And all this time I hadn't told her about it, about the drugs and whatever. So I told her when I was like a year to about finishing. Like now, then I was now okay. I could handle. Because I'm a private person, I guess. I'm very private. But mine was complicated because of the hyper and hypothyroidism. Because that hormone really affects the balance in your everything. The balance in your everything. Yeah, but I'm happy. I stopped, what, 2-3 years ago? No, 3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So were you also doing, like, psychological therapy? Or you were just taking the medication?
No, at the time when I was starting, my health plan was stupid. It was super stupid and therapy. So that time I didn't. But at some point, last year, but when I tried, you know, the therapist I was given, she was very motherly and very nice and whatever.
Mm.
But I think we didn't address the, what is it called? Because I wanted to talk about, I was when you're getting older, I was getting pressure of, you're not married, you're not dating, there's something wrong with you. Yeah, like that. So I was like, okay, maybe something is wrong with me. Let me go and figure it out.
What did you end up talking about?
She wanted to talk about my mom and the dynamics between me and my mom.
Okay.
My dad and my, I think it was important. I think I got scared because now it was getting super deep, you know. And then I think I just stopped because it, I think it got too hard to go back. But I think I need to do that.
Did you feel like you were telling on your parents?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I always felt like you say something about your parents. Because I know my parents, I won't take it so badly. But then the person will be like, really? So I was like, no, don't judge. Baby. You know, like...
Like, they're good people, but they did this one thing, but then they're still good people.
Yeah, I know. And then I always felt like because she was motherly and she reminds me of my mom, I felt like I always also gave her the good daughter
vibe. Ah, yes.
Yes, I wasn't ready to present my dark. Not dark, what is it called?
Your real self.
Not so perfect. Yes. Yeah. Not so perfect self. Because I felt like, it's almost like I wanted to impress her. I'm a good person, but this is happening to me. But I'm not also telling her, oh, yeah, fine. But this also, I also did this. And I know it's wrong and whatever. I wasn't able to get to that part. Because I think I was thinking like I was talking to my mom. And I don't want to tell her. Things.
yeah, I understand that. So you need to be able to like talk to your therapist freely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So one of the doctors, the one for thyroid, kind of, you can go to this doctor. I've never called him. He is, I'm told he's very good, very busy. So I need to just find the courage and go just to figure out things, I guess. Yeah, but the thing is, the growth phase I keep telling you about, I'm getting more okay with not being perfect. I'm getting more okay with not doing what, let's say, my sisters or my siblings would expect from me. Yeah, because my uncle told me one thing, but like, you're not the general manager of the world. You can be you. And people, I told you from Zuri, that's the kind of thing to say. And even if you're bad, whatever it is, no one should judge you. And even if they judge you, it's okay. You're human.
So let me ask you, with that, the older therapist, what did you learn about the dynamics between you and your mom?
I think the dynamics I found out is, it's almost like I don't want to present my other side. I always want to be perfect. When akiniambia nifanye kitu, I'm always there to do it.
Why do you think
I'm
that
always
is?
Willing to do it.
Why do you think that is? Was she really strict with you when you were growing up?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Even for me.
Yeah.
Even for me, I'm still struggling with that up to now.
Yeah.
Like, my parents were really strict with me when I was growing up. But then they were not as strict with my siblings. So, like, we are very different.
Yes.
Yes.
Preach on.
We are very different. So now, even me, I think since sometime last year,
yeah,
I've just been learning how to, learning and allowing myself to just be me.
Yeah.
To make mistakes. Like, I think now I'm entering my rebellion phase. You know, when people are rebellious in their teens.
Yeah.
Now I'm entering mine.
I know. Like, I'm entering in my 30s. I'm like, what was I doing all the same?
Yeah, firstborn manenos.
I know. It is too hard. And you're almost feeling like if I do this and she's mad at me, or something like that, you're almost thinking like you don't want to ruffle anyone's feather.
Yeah, like you equate being good to being loved. Like if you can, like if you make a mistake, then you'll not be loved.
And I find, and I think that challenge is also coming into my sort of relationships. Maybe that's why I haven't dated, because I always feel like, and I don't reveal who I am, like, kabisa, because nikisema, then I'm like, is that wrong? I like going to visit my parents in the weekend. So one of these guys, he's like, oh, nenda home. Oh, you like going home? Like, just a statement. I'm like, yes, kwani ni mbaya? Like, I keep saying that. You're independent. Oh, kwani ni mbaya? Like, I'm feeling like, am I doing something wrong? Like,
okay,
tell
me.
Yeah.
Tell me who I can be.
Yeah, who I can be so that you can like me.
Like me, yeah. I relate kabisa.
It's super weird. I need to get out of that.
But it's good to be aware. It's like the way you're raised is very different from the way your siblings were raised.
Yes.
So do you ever feel like the third adult, like in the house, like when you were growing up?
Yes. Like I I invited my sisters last weekend. I just told them, we just need to like socialize and be sisters. Do you know what they did?
Mm.
They came at the very last minute, like at curfew time.
Mm.
And they came when they were high already. Mm. So we couldn't talk about anything. It's like, they're like, why does Mary want to talk to me? Why what does she want to say? Mm. You know, like that. I mean, I was thinking, just treat me like you.
Sibling.
Sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, tell me your mistakes. I tell you my mistakes.
Mm.
Tell me something random or something weird. Mm. And then we'll laugh about it. But I always feel like they're always very careful.
Yeah, I think I've also struggled with that. Like, being friends with your siblings is a struggle.
It is a struggle.
Yeah.
And even if you tell them, oh, be comfortable.
They're like, then why? What does she want now?
Why she be so friendly? About... I still struggle with that thing of needing to be liked by everyone. For example, when I joined orchestra, like, there was this particular girl. Everyone else likes me because I'm friendly. But this particular girl, did not like me. She just did not. You say hi to her, she looks at you. When you do something, sometimes when, let's say, we're supposed to sit somewhere, and then she's like, no, someone is sitting there. So I don't sit next to her. Like, what's happening? Like, you know, like, why? What did I do?
Mm.
I used to say hi all the time. Then one day I decided one person not liking you is not the end of the world.
But how long did it take you to get there?
Oh my God, like 3 months. Because we used to go every Saturday. And every Saturday I used to say hi. It's open. She doesn't answer. She just even doesn't hide. And her friends are my friends.
Mm.
But she just does not want to like me at all. I was like, what did I do to her? Can I say hi longer? Or can I like look at her and blow my feet? Like, what's happening?
But you can't even really know why if she really liked you or not. Maybe she was intimidated. You can't really know what somebody's thinking.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Me in my head, I was thinking, when was...
What have I done? Why doesn't she like me?
I know. As in, I've just met you right now. Like, what's the problem? But I realized... Now, you know, they like you and whatever, and then you're back to your old habits of always being overly nice and, oh, can you drop me out? Yeah, I can. You know, even if it is off your way, I seriously need to work on that.
Because
the constant need of me. But I'm getting better.
People pleasing.
I'm getting, yeah. Mm. I'm getting better. I'm getting more aware of it, and I'm getting more comfortable with the uncomfortability of not being liked. But I found out when you're being yourself, the one who wants to like you is just like. And actually, those ones are the ones who come. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
So how are you doing now, mentally?
I am great, actually.
Okay.
I am growing. I told you this is a growth phase.
Mm.
I've been hiding and avoiding conversations with my sister, like deep conversations. And I'm trying. At least now I call them too. Okay, although it's just backfired on me, but I'm actually trying. I'm not so empty anymore. Really empty. Now I can talk to people about things that I'm going through.
Mm.
Hard stuff, yeah? That used to affect me.
Mm.
But now I'm learning that not actually things are not about you.
Mm.
It's their truth. And they will tell you just to share and to not necessarily help, but to have someone else share in the conversation, yeah.
Mm.
And you don't have to solve everything, and you don't have to be everyone's favorite. And telling now someone the truth, because what I used to do is maybe I plan to do something like two things, and then someone last minute asks me to do something. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. Then someone else. So I have five things that is possible to do. So I'm gonna disappoint one, or I'm gonna be really late to the other one,
and whatever.
But now I just tell you, it's last minute. I'm not able to. And they'll be mad at you, whatever, but in the end, they'll know you told them the truth. And I didn't have to struggle about it, because I used to like give myself a lot of flack about it.
Yeah.
But now I'm getting better. I still struggle with hurting people. Mm. If someone, like, if say someone needs something or someone likes you and you don't like them back, I struggle with that. I'm struggling with that right now.
It's not really hurting. I don't see it as hurting. You don't have to like please. Like if you like disappointed me, I wouldn't be like to be hurt. At you really hurt me. I'd probably like 5 minutes later find somebody else.
Oh Lord. Okay.
Yeah.
You see now in my head, I'm thinking, oh my God, I just ran Michelle's day.
No. And then also let me encourage you, kidogo. Something I've learned.
Yeah.
If you're vulnerable with people,
yeah,
you'll find that most likely they will either identify with the same situation.
Okay.
They will like want to encourage you. They will not judge you.
Okay.
Yeah. So that has helped me to be more vulnerable. I think even doing this podcast, just saying I was sexually abused, I have depression, I have these issues.
Yeah.
I found that people, or even outside the podcast, with even my parents, with other people,
yeah,
somebody is most likely to say, even me, I've also gone through that.
Yeah.
Or they're able to say, I'm really sorry that happened to you. They're less likely to judge you and say, you're a horrible person. You choose to do something for someone.
Yeah. But I'm also like worried about like my mom, because she was really worried for a long time. You could see she doesn't want to ask me about it. Like when I introduced her to the doctor and whatever, they had a conversation. But she was really worried. And she's like, you're still going to that doctor? Okay. Then she doesn't ask another thing. Then Amano Nuliza, are you okay? Are you doing good? Like that. Because she doesn't know how to deal with it. You know, mental health and whatever is not something our parents had to deal with.
Yeah, for me, my parents have been in denial about it for a while. It's actually just last week or the other one that I was able to talk to my mom about. Like, she actually told me, how is depression for you?
Oh, no.
But when I was on medication, when I was going to see the doctor, she was always like, oh, naenda kuona daktari leo. Bono na meza hizi dawa. Bono na...
Yeah.
But then I think with time,
mm-hmm,
she's come to accept it.
Yeah.
She was even asking me questions. So I think parents is just another struggle by itself.
Yeah, because I don't know what to ask or not to ask. Like, is it okay for me to do this? And if I accept it, does it make it real? You know, like, I think that's also the challenge.
And then I think when it comes to your mental health, you just listen to what your body and your mind are saying.
Mm.
Yeah, because if kiskiza wazazi, I don't know. Me, if I listened, because the first time I mentioned therapy, I was like totally ignored. I think I've talked about it before.
Yeah.
But I was totally ignored. So if I'd continued, I don't know what would have happened. If I'd just not gone to the doctor,
It could have been horrible.
Ingekuwa something else.
Yeah.
Because I was feeling like, hey, Mehete, this feeling, it needs to stop.
It needs to stop, by the way. But now the question is, I have this question. I think my sister is depressed. Now, my problem is I'm not feeling strong enough for me, let alone me and her. So this was part of the conversation I wanted to have with her on that weekend. So if you found out one of your siblings was depressed and whatever, would you go through it with her, or would you let the therapist handle it? And would it be okay to just let the therapist handle it?
My opinion is, you can't give somebody what you don't have.
Yeah.
So I would see it like, you go see the doctor first for yourself, for Mary, for Mary to be okay.
Yeah.
And then maybe for one session you can invite your sister and tell her, by the way, I'm going to see my doctor. I would like you to go with me for this one session. And then maybe the doctor, the issues you're talking about, maybe the doctor will see. Maybe you can ask the doctor, I want to come with my sister for the next session. And then they will see how to take it. Yeah. And then you just watch her from there.
Yeah.
For the doctor, yeah. But for me, you can't give your sister what you don't have.
Yeah.
So if you just go see the doctor for yourself, for you to be okay.
Mm.
Yeah. And even when I've realized for me, when I change something about, things have changed about myself, like when I'm healing, I've found that my family are, what's the word?
Mm-hmm.
Like they feel more comfortable around me.
Okay.
Yeah, because I found that I'm healing, and this idea asked my sister, how am I different from before? And she said, "Squeeze ya ugombani sana." Before, she wouldn't have told me. Yeah, so I found that if the more I heal, the better my relationship with my family.
Yeah.
And I think now my sister, if she had any issue, she would see that Michelle went for therapy. I can also go for therapy. Sometimes you don't even have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
That's my opinion. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
True.
Yeah.
No, but it really helps because I've been feeling really guilty. You're in a better place and whatever.
Mm.
But then it's almost like you're leaving your siblings behind because you don't want to think about.
And then you can't live your life for your siblings.
True.
You're only given one life, maybe.
Yeah, you know.
It's just that one life. Oh, of course you love your family and you want them to be at their best.
Yeah.
But then you may also bring up this topic of therapy and when is Akata? And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Something I've also tried with my family.
Yeah.
Like when my bro died, I was like, hey, I'm going to take my whole family to therapy and everything is going to be okay and they're going to heal. Mm. Nini.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't go well with them.
But did they try?
Yeah, they did try because nilikuwa nawasumbua, but then they figured somewhere and they just stopped. Because it wasn't, maybe they were not ready to face those issues.
Or it wasn't something they wanted to pursue.
For me, how I see it, they're not ready to face those issues. So, Nona, there's some really uncomfortable questions your therapist asks. And maybe for them, they were not ready. For me, I was ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, I can only control me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you go for therapy. You can mention it once in a while. Maybe I'm going to therapy. Ama, they'll just see you're healing and you're changing and they'll ask you, hey, kwani squeezing ni nini?
Yeah.
And then you say, hey, me, I'm in therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ama, in some way, they'll see you react differently to a situation.
Yeah.
And then they'll ask you. It'll come up.
Yeah, it's true. I think I need to go to Nene, but I'm in a really, really good place. I'm trying meditation and I know I still have to address that.
Mm.
I realize for the longest time, and the thing is, now I'm realizing things. For the longest time I thought, now I'm ready for a relationship.
Mm.
But when the opportunity presented itself, I'm actually thinking of, wow, why am I here and whatever. As in, I'm just feeling like it's either I can't like him like that or he's not the right person for me. But honestly, I don't know the difference right now.
Have you been in a relationship before? Am I just dating? Going on dates?
A long time ago.
Okay.
A very long time ago.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe it's just not the right person. But also, I'm also thinking it might be that I am not ready for one.
Mm.
Yeah. And maybe those are some of the things I need to like explore and see. Am I actually in it? But deep down in my heart, I think maybe I'm not ready. Okay. The problem is I'm worried about hurting this person because him is very invested.
Okay, if you were going to therapy, your therapist would tell you. It's not something you can control. You can't like predict the future. But I'm not a therapist, let me tell you this one.
Let's assume you're a therapist. Okay. What would be your advice?
So far for what I've learned in therapy,
you
learn things you can control and things you can't control.
Yeah.
And then there are these things we do, like we try and predict the future, we try and read other people's minds.
Yeah.
Because you want control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you keep saying that now, if he says this, I'm going to
say that, yeah. And I'm going to be this perfect girlfriend.
Yeah. Because I've been negotiating myself, I'm like, maybe if I just love him, you know, it's so easy to love someone. It's okay.
Mm.
You know, I'll be fine. But then every day I wake up, and you know the way you wake up and it's the clearest time of the day. Like you're actually not in this thing.
Mm.
You keep convincing yourself throughout the day. And I think that thing of going against your conscience has been bugging me.
Mm.
Yeah, right now it's really bugging me. And that's the growth stage you're in.
Does this not being in a relationship like bother you? Like
also, yeah, because I'm thinking, why is it different for me?
Mm.
I think that's also the other thing. I might be going into it for the wrong reason.
Okay. It's also something I'm struggling with, by the way.
Yeah.
But I've also been learning with my therapist, like what could be the reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I found like I'm really judgmental on myself and on others.
Yeah.
So that could be one of the many reasons I'm also not dating or in a relationship at the moment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So therapy is good. Okay, I would encourage you to do therapy. Therapy is awesome. It's hard. It's hard, yeah. But it like gives you clarity and you're able to see, so this is why I react the way I do. This is why I want to be perfect. So this is why this happens and I cry and it's not a big deal and I don't understand why I'm crying.
Yeah.
So it just makes you face yourself.
Yeah.
It's hard, but I would encourage you to just go. If especially if you have insurance and you can afford it.
Yeah.
You go.
And how long have you been in therapy?
So I started in 2018.
Okay.
I've seen different people, but so far the person I found this year that I really like. I really like her.
Oh, you've gone to different ones.
Yes. Finding the right one. The first one I found was the first person I saw was all about giving me advice, and I was like, mm-mm.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. They're not listening to what you're saying.
You're not listening to me, because if I tell her I'm struggling with something, they're not really listening.
Uh-huh.
And then the second one I saw was about giving me solutions.
Oh, and they're not supposed to be doing that.
Yeah, you're supposed to think for yourself. Cause no, like I also brought up the issue of relationships, and they're like, I can hook you up with my son. And I was like, I apana. This is not what I need.
Then what happens to your therapy session? Oh,
exactly, exactly. It's really unprofessional.
Yeah, why would she do that?
Mm. So, but the person I found this year, I really like.
Yes.
They like, if I can't articulate a feeling, they tell me, so what I'm hearing is, and then they tell me what I'm feeling, and I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it may take a while to find the right person.
Yeah.
But when you find the right person, they help you see, they give you a lot of clarity.
Are they all female? I've seen
two female and one male.
Okay. Yeah. And the current one is male?
No, she's female.
Female?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. I'm a bit iffy about a male therapist. I don't know why.
Mm.
But I'm thinking maybe that's, I don't know.
Because
now the female one didn't work.
I don't think it's really about the agenda. Sometimes you just have to like, you just have to like bond. Like this, you know, the way you click with a friend.
Yeah.
You also click with a therapist.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And if you don't click, it's okay to.
It's okay. Just quit, but as long as you keep looking for help.
For another one, yes.
Yes, you just keep going. You'll find somebody you will click with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially if they make you look at your real issues.
Yeah.
Like you don't feel like running away. Like okay, even if you feel like running away, you want to come back and find out why. That's the person to stick with. The person who doesn't take your BS.
Yes.
Yes. Like this lady who was like, you're giving her the right answers and she was accepting them. They shouldn't like let you get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was really like, I could see, you know, the way it's like you're outside your body and you're like, Mary, you're not being yourself. So she's like, and you know, the way you finish someone else's sentences, that's what she'll say. I'm like, at the end, and then me. I'm like, yeah. So I just accept because I'm like, oh, that's a right, that's a good answer.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
That's actually a very good answer.
Yeah.
Let me accept that one. That one makes me look very good. Okay, good. Yes, I agree.
Mm.
And I wanted to say something else.
And a good therapist will they will allow you to disagree with them.
Okay.
Yeah. If they have all the answers, Because they're this annoying ones, they just keep asking you why and why and why. So until you get to the bottom of the issue.
Yes, because they only say you ask 5 whys.
Okay, I didn't know that, but me.
Yeah, it's actually a thing that you say something, then I ask you why. Then you tell me because. Why? Because. Until, by the way, if you come by the fifth why, you actually know. Yeah, okay, fine. You're either lying to yourself or you're actually doing something. No.
Yeah, and then you'll find out maybe the reason why you're reacting to something is because my mom told me when I was 5 years old this. And then you realize, I've carried this my whole life and this is how I've been reacting. Because I was told that 5 years old, when you do something, this happens. Yeah. And my mom was mad when I did something when I was 4. So that's why I'm always like this. So when they want to talk about your mom, just talk about your mom. You're not cheating
like
on her.
Yeah, like I'm cheating on her, or now I'm pointing her in the bad
light. Yeah.
You know, like and these are things which they happen because we have relationships with our parents and their siblings and whatever.
And they're not perfect.
Yeah,
even me,
I'm not perfect. It's just I'm feeling like, why am I judging them and I'm not perfect?
It's not really judging. It's just finding out from Mary's point of view what happened. If your mom did something wrong and it definitely affected you.
Okay.
So it's not really about your mom. It's about you.
It's about how I reacted to it.
Yes.
and it is okay to.
It's just very
uncomfortable even to think about it. And it's okay to just say your mom did something wrong.
Okay. Yeah, it's very okay. It's very okay. Freeing. Actually, it's very freeing. Like,
oh my
mom did this when I was 5 years old, and it hurt me. Because I'm just saying, just you were hurt. Very freeing. Yeah, very freeing. Probably that is all you need. And then if the conversation remains between you and your therapist, they will never bring it up with anybody else. Even if you go for a session with your mom, they will never bring it up.
Oh, they won't kubukati. Oh, nani mentioned this one.
Ati alikusema, alisema tulifanya. They will never do it.
Oh my God.
They will never discuss it with another. And even if you go to another therapist, they refer you to another therapist, you're going to have to start from fresh with the new therapist.
Because they can't even share the
they don't discuss.
Whatever.
Yeah, they don't. You go and vent and say everything. It's very silly.
Oh my God. But I really should get on it.
Please do.
Please
do. And then let's talk afterwards. We've gone for like 3 months or so.
Three or four.
Yeah.
Wait, you do it every week or every month?
I do once a week.
Once a week.
It depends on you and your therapist. You can agree. Some people go once every 2 weeks. Some people go several times a week.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what issue you're tackling. And then they give you homework. They give you homework to go and do.
Yeah.
So it helps. I would encourage you to just to do the homework, even if it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Don't say at it's useless. What am I doing this for? Just go do and then come back. Yeah. It's really helpful. Let's talk about something later.
Yes.
Tell me about orchestra. What instruments do you play? How did you get into it?
Oh, goodness. So I used to be really shy. When I was in Mweji, I really wanted to join the choir. But I was super shy. So when people were auditioning, I was like the next person. I didn't even enter. So for the longest time, I really wanted to do music. So when I started working, I was earning and whatever. So the Kenya Conservatory of Music offers classes for other things. So me, I went for vocal because I loved to sing, but I didn't have enough confidence to sing in front of anyone. Like outside of me being very alone, and I'm sure that no one in the vicinity can hear what I'm saying. You know, like it was just bad like that. So I went there and I found a Mzungu teacher. He was on exchange program. So he used to play the piano and then he's like, sing. So I'm singing, but the whole time I'm thinking, I'm a naimba vibaya. I'm a stinini. Like, so inatoka weird. So it's like, sing, just sing. It's me and you here alone. Just sing. So I try. So we did one performance. I sang, like, my family was super bored because I was singing like a classical piece.
That's for opera.
Yeah, I could see them. They were super bored. Then, so we continued. Then this teacher was like, for you to get more confident, I need you to join a choir called Nairobi Music Society. So then I call the lady, another white lady. She's like, oh my God, are you coming? Are you an alto? I'm like, no, I think I am a soprano. I'm like, ah. So I'm like, why? I shouldn't be a soprano. So she's like, it's like the whole of Kenya is a soprano. I'm like, okay, fine. So I get lost, I fika. People know how to read music. I have no idea how to do it. So that day was tough, yeah? So I went that day. So when I was going home, I was living alone. So when I was going home, I sat in my car. And I had tears. I was like, oh my God, what the hell did I get myself into? But you know, on the next Tuesday, I just told myself, let me just show up. Let me just see. And that's the rest is history. So after like 4 years, I met one of the choir members, she's an alto. She's like, I saw you with a violin, you bought it some time ago. I was like, yeah, I bought it. My brother was doing piano, so I was just accompanying him and I happened to have a violin. I'm like, no, come, there's a prelude orchestra. Like prelude, that for beginners. I think me when I started, I just played one note. So was like, I don't know how to play any note. Like, Inashida, you, if you need to just come and sit when people are there, the next thing you'll know where to play. And that's how it started. And I got into violin and I played for like a year without a teacher. Then I got a teacher. Mm. Then I got interested into playing the cello. And I think I'm really good at the cello, I think, which is weird. I discovered it when I was in my 30s. What? I know, like, it's just weird, but I enjoy it. Yeah. So that's just how I got into it. I'm one of the late comers because people start at, like, age 5.
Even me, music is something I've always wanted to do. I think it's one of those things I should do.
You should. Actually, come. What do you want? Which instrument do you want to play?
I have no idea.
Do you like wind instruments or bow or the guitar or the piano or whatever?
Okay, when I was young, I wanted to learn how to play the guitar. So maybe we can start. We can start there.
Yeah, you can start with the guitar. Mm. So at the conservatoire, they have lessons for anything.
Okay.
Any instrument. Mm. Even drums.
And then one of those things I was also thinking about, I'm not too old.
No, wow. Do you know what encouraged me?
Mm.
We went to that one concert when I was freaking out. I was going to sing that opera thing that people were not listening to.
Mm.
There was an 85-year-old woman who was just learning the piano.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I was like, what? Even me, I had that thing. And I used to, like, for the past 2 seasons, I used to feel subconscious because most of the people you're playing with know how to play the violin and other instruments, and they're significantly younger than you. But then slowly, older and older members started joining. They stopped feeling self-conscious. And someone said, everyone has their own time. And some of them have been playing for, say, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you're joining them, and you can actually play with them and whatever. So it's like, maybe it was time. I stopped feeling the subconscious thing because even the cello players, most of them are older, which I don't understand. But yes, they are. And I used to be subconscious about because I'm big. So the violin is like a tiny instrument. So I used to be like, nee, but I love my body, I love myself and whatever. So I just accepted it and I moved on. Yeah, it was strange. Every the first 2 seasons, I used to feel like an imposter. So I only know how to play, like, say, funu. And these people have been playing, they've been taking the craft seriously. And then and here you want to join the orchestra. And you know no one. Because them, it's such a small industry, they ever knows everyone. And then suddenly you talk, yeah. So I just know the one person introduced. I don't know. It was in it was strength. Every week you give yourself strength, you leave the house. You just say, let me just leave. Let me go and see.
Mm.
Let me go and see what happened. And now I'm part of it.
Okay.
Now I'm good.
And you're loving it.
Oh, I love it. Ooh, Kwanzaa when they introduced the women's orchestra. Mm. Mad. That one was just like bath.
Okay.
You guys have just done it.
So where can people like listen to you?
Also, us, we play at Kenya National Theatre.
Mm.
And we also play for the All Saints Choir when they have their concerts.
Mm.
So at All Saints, sometimes we have concerts, and sometimes we have just performances, recitals, and whatever. But mostly National Theatre or the Conservatoire of Music. So we usually have end-of-term concerts.
So this was pre-COVID?
Yes, this is pre-COVID.
So now, during COVID, are you guys like doing rehearsals or anything? Am I waiting to pack up post-COVID?
Yeah, so like 3 of us, we live this side of Kitengela, Utawala, Syokimau.
Mm.
So one of the people we practice with lives in Kitengela. They have a kindergarten school. Mm. So of course now there are no students. So we pick one of the classes, really big, social distancing, of course, but then we just jam.
Okay.
And we go through pieces, and we go through exercises, we go through practice, we teach ourselves. It's actually helping. Mm. And then the violin and cello classes are on Zoom, so I have a violin class on Wednesday and a cello class on Saturday. Yeah.
Okay.
But we're jamming just the 3 of us, just getting better so that now whenever COVID issues, God willing, we go back and, like, now play with people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so how about you guys are not planning like an online concert like everybody else?
No, people are doing the online concert, but I think Zoom has such a delay. I think you really have to be a very, very good musician to actually be in time with someone.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're trying to use like things like metronomes and stuff. Maybe I'll explore. There's one who was to play the national anthem. I had a horrible camera, and then I think I was just freaking out. So I didn't do it. But it sounded really nice. I saw it on daily. It was very nice.
Okay.
You're told you play one verse on video, and then you send on a certain metronome and whatever. It was nice. I think I'm still, the online thing is, I don't know.
It's still new for everyone.
Yeah. Even meetings are so boring on Zoom. Oh my God, it just depresses me, but it's fine. Yeah, but we're hoping it gets better. You know, this COVID just needs to end.
I know, right? It's been like long enough. Maybe this needs to end.
Me after 3 months, I was like, I'm done.
And Anduku, it's just started to surge now. We're going into the peak
that's
season.
The problem.
Gosh, so annoying.
It's actually so annoying. Like, we've been indoors all this time. Now when people are relaxing, it's now like, now you need to go back.
It's starting to get really, really bad.
Yeah, I hear, yeah.
Do you have any recommendations, any book, podcast, YouTube videos, IG for people to listen to that you like?
Oh, I like Wahura Kamboza.
Okay.
Yes.
So sorry.
Like, sometimes she goes also deep, like really deep. The other one is what, Psych2Go.
Psych2Go, okay. Okay, so I think I'll end it here. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to talking to you after therapy. After you've gone like 3-4 months.
Yeah.
I think I'll call you Tema.
Okay, you should. Let me get the courage of getting one.
Just go. Like there'll never be a good time to do anything. You just go. I think I'll call you on Monday and see if you've gone.
Okay, fine. That's now good pressure, so I'll
make sure. I'll just
pressure
you.
So this week I am loving Home with Rue, Rangi Pop, Island Boy Photography, and Gino Droset. I will link the Instagram accounts and the show notes. You can check them out. And I'd also love your IG recommendations. So please send them to me on my IG at CocoButterJunkie. So that was me basically forcing a friend into therapy. I don't know if that is recommended. But thank you for listening. That's the episode, and I will see you on the next one. Bye.
Hey, just remembered I didn't tell you I graduated a year later. It was the happiest day of my grandma's and my mom's and my dad's. And mine, of course.